Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. COVID-19 has created challenges not only for our healthcare system, but the health of the country. And these immediate and long-term changes pose a big risk to people struggling with addiction. There are a lot of triggering stressors involved with social distancing, like changes to work routines or unemployment, and the overall sense of fear and uncertainty permeating life during this pandemic. This has the potential to dramatically increase the number of people relapsing. So local organizations are working hard to continue to be a resource for people struggling with addiction. To learn more about how recovery efforts are being affected by COVID-19, Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski spoke with Jessica Brownrigg and Aaron Claiborne. They're both recovery coaches with the Wisconsin Recovery Community Organization. Brownrigg starts by explaining how people can stay in recovery after a pandemic and how social distancing has changed the ways people are seeking help.
It's definitely made a shift in our approach. I believe people can still maintain that long-term recovery by offering some creative solutions. I think that we had a really a fast response within many of the local meetings, 12-step meetings here, to launch virtual options. So that's been a huge help to the people in long-term recovery. There are also other ways to keep engaged with people. I mean, the biggest thing that helps, I think, someone stay in recovery is helping others or sharing with others. So a lot of times I talk about using the phone list that we get in meetings to connect with people, stay connected with people. I've even said, you know, maybe you guys, people can go through the big books together, do a reading in the morning together, call someone just for a check-in like you normally would do when you're at a meeting, and maybe share your story with them. Again, being really creative in our approach there.
Do you believe there are different challenges for people maintaining a long-term recovery versus someone who has recently started their journey and have not been able to really experience and be integrated into the traditional sobriety journey with in-person meetings? You mentioned readings, you know, lots of things that are part of a system that people willingly participate in.
Well, luckily, we haven't seen many people getting into recovery right now that haven't already had some experience in the rooms. So they're usually, you know, they're ready to get engaged in some way. And so they've been able to access the virtual meetings or a different type of meeting. We have all recovery meetings that's not a 12-step based that they can access there. But I do think that if that presents, it will be a challenge for people. And again, just I think really ensuring that you're trying to keep them connected then with the recovery community in some way, shape, or form.
If there are individuals who are beginning their journey or continuing their journey from a lapse of time, the resources are out there and people have been reaching out as a continuance to their recovery to gain more strength in their recovery. If they had a period of time where they weren't attending meetings, people usually know how to get in contact with some sort of recovery center or AA program. So it hasn't been too big of a challenge from what I've seen, so from what we've seen.
Well, and I think another thing that's interesting is some of the people that I've worked with that are newer are a little shy from going into the rooms. So this is actually something that's a better offer for them because they can just go on a phone and listen in and they don't actually have to participate or feel that they're put on the spot to say something. So that's been kind of interesting to see.
That is. And do you both have any other suggestions or tips of how to help people going through recovery in their day-to-day lives in order to help maintain their sobriety?
That would go along with maintaining a daily schedule. A lot of individuals are unemployed or laid off at this time, and they're trying to find something to do to fill in that void. Things like, reading a morning reflection or meditation, prayer, even small things like making your bed or taking a shower at a scheduled time every day will keep you on track to maintain your sobriety. You know, just getting dressed. Like if you're not going anywhere, when a person gets dressed, they feel good. They look good. And that has a huge impact overall. Exercise is great, as we all know. Get outside, get some fresh air, you know, absorb some sunshine. Maintaining a healthy diet is good as well. And again, the simple things make a huge difference. And also, I think Jessica mentioned, consider daily check-ins with individuals that you go to meetings with. In the recovery community, the acceptance level is extremely high. So to talk to someone who you don't know is not a new thing in the recovery area. So that could initiate some good things.
You mentioned, Aaron, that there's a lot of unemployment. So how does unemployment and psychological distress that obviously a pandemic can have on all of us, you know, whether we're in recovery or not, have you seen an elevated rate of relapse that has been tracked since the pandemic started?
There's definitely been a spike in opioid use and overdoses. One report in Dane County states that there's been a greater number of opioid drug overdoses that there would have been expected in a 7-day period based on Dane County's recent opioid overdose activity. Also in Milwaukee County, opioid use and the opioid overdoses rate is expected to increase up to 50% from 2019 to 2020. This was reported by the Milwaukee County Medical Examiner of Operations Manager Karen Domogowski. With that, for example, with the medicated assistant treatment programs that were shut down for a while, these individuals weren't able to go there and get their Suboxone or buprenorphine or methadone. And because they have this addiction and they're seeking treatment for it, they can't get it. So they turn to illicit street drugs, which has a much more powerful effect. So it sets them back. And that's why some of those numbers are increasing. So they don't want to get any more individuals infected by having people come in to get their treatment, because there's that possibility of spreading the COVID if that's an issue. And on the other hand, if they're closed, the individuals can't get their medication and they, like I said before, turn to illicit street drugs. But there's definitely been a spike in overdoses and opioid use, even here in Sheboygan County as well. Initially, in the very beginning, there had been quite a few individuals going to the emergency department due to overdoses. So it's very important, again, to get the word out so we can kind of prevent this and keep those individuals who are seeking help. They feel they have nowhere to go and no one to turn to. We just want to keep pushing the word that the help is there. We're not going anywhere.
So, you know, there's one end of the spectrum where people are running out of money and they're feeling distressed. And then there's the other end where people are getting stimulus checks. And for some people in recovery, that can be a trigger to get all of a sudden a lump sum of money. So I know some of the centers and we've been mindful of trying to talk to people about what we, you know, can we set up a budget for you for when you get that, so that it isn't a trigger that you go out and use based off of. So
what other challenges are you guys facing as people who work in recovery programs? You know, budgeting, once you get your stimulus check, I suppose, isn't something we would normally think about as everyday people. So what else have you had to adapt to besides the obvious move to virtual meetings and things like that? But Aaron, you mentioned people don't have the same access to medications that they rely on. So what has been your plan of action and your way to go about this new reality?
Being a little more proactive with the individuals I work with or potential individuals I work with, I'm constantly contacting different organizations and agencies to see what their protocol is right now. The majority of them are still active, but applications are done online. It's just a change, basically. So I have the information available to individuals who are in need of help. Again, with the meetings, we don't congregate and big crowds, you know, but we will do face-to-face. We'll do a basic screening, you know, are you coughing? Do you feel ill? Have you been anywhere where COVID is at high rate? Do you have a fever? I mean, we take the proper measures. Again, we will never turn anyone away who's seeking help. It's just, we have to take the necessary precautions. The biggest challenge would be those people who like to attend the meetings face to face, and which, again, like Jessica stated earlier, once you get in those meetings virtually, you get that feeling right back as if you were in the room. I don't think there's too much of a struggle that we can't overcome or that we can't initiate a different way.
One of the things too, that some of the people that we work with haven't had access to like a Chromebook or a computer or a smartphone. So that's been a little bit of a challenge, or they're residing in a group home where they don't have access to that. Mm-hmm. So something I've been working with at my job at the county and VistaCare is trying to see if there's any way we could find someone to donate, or if there's extra ones around the office to try to get a Chromebook or a tablet or something to that effect to those people and get them set up on a Zoom meeting. So.
Now, with recovery facilities and emergency treatment measures, how are they being affected by COVID-19? You know, if worse case scenario, someone needed to be admitted, can they still go to these places in an emergency? Or at least in Sheboygan County, I'm sure it differs from each facility.
Interestingly enough, we don't have that many. I don't think we have any residential facilities in Sheboygan County. But I do know that some of them are still admitting people. I know a few of the places in Milwaukee that are residential are still admitting people. I know Lighthouse Recovery Center in Manitowoc, they're a recovery center. They are still seeing people that are in like the first 30 days, or if they're in a crisis, they're still meeting people face to face with the precautions. It's great to see and beautiful thing to see that we're still providing some support and doing everything that we can to keep these people connected and getting them to where they need to be.
Yeah, there's a vast majority of the orgs throughout the state of Wisconsin that are handling this situation primarily the same way as far as the virtual meetings, phone calls, and things like that. But there are organizations that are completely open, completely. They're still doing groups. They're still doing face-to-face. They're still going into the emergency department settings. To be exact, is Darjeune. They are basically business as usual. I spoke with an individual at that org, and they're really out there. They have a huge amount of COVID cases there. I think it's second highest in the state. And that was really surprising to me, and I commended them for, you know, continuing to do the things they do. It's needed. But every org, we're still engaged to the best of our ability.
What can be done in the short term? You mentioned, of course, these tips of staying connected, attending virtual meetings. But what do you feel needs to happen or change in the long run to create a more resilient system that is there for people in recovery and in crisis?
And that is like one of the best questions I've heard, yeah, for that. Sure. And it really got me thinking, Audrey. So thank you for that, because
definitely.
I was like, wow, we need to be on this. So, and some of the things we kind of just brainstormed a little bit on, I think like a morning check-in group via Zoom would be great, because we talked about doing meditations or reflections. So some sort of morning check-in that we could possibly engage with everyone in the recovery community. I know the Jackie Nitschke Center does like a check-in twice a week, I believe, that you can access on their website. So to kind of expand on that, I think it'd be great. Plus, like, to have that through, you know, Worko and then maybe a nightly check-in group. So like the morning could be to establish goals, or who do you need to reach out to today? And then the evening check-in group would be like a recap and how can we best support you over the night or on the weekends. Another thing that we're working on right now is doing some recovery care packages. That was something we came up with putting some literature in there, some like maybe quotes, hopeful quotes, again, with like a list of resources and phone lists. Maybe some candy,
yeah.
Some sugar,
yeah. Yeah.
I really appreciate that question. And I think it's something we need to be addressing and talking about now so that we can have better measures in the future.
And those check-ins can be done individually with a coach, certified mm-hmm. peer specialist, sponsor, or they can be done in a group. Again, people like those group settings and, just bring one another some light. You know, some joy, and expressing that through this time of uncertainty that we have some gratitude and we have things to be thankful for. And that care package will be so vital to these individuals who don't feel like they can get the help they need as much as they would have been had we not had this pandemic. And that just shows that we care and we're out there and they have someone they can turn to.
Is there anything else that you guys would like to touch upon or want our listeners to know?
You don't, especially now, you know, I wouldn't say that an individual would travel from county to county to attend a meeting. But since everything is being done virtually, you don't just, you know, limit yourself to the county you live in. We're doing everything virtually. Reach out to any organization that you look up. You know, there's plenty of rooms and plenty of conversations. Recovery is universal. You know, it's not limited to just your area.
Well, and one of the things you mentioned too, I don't know if we touched upon, but was, you know, what would you say to someone who's skeptical about getting on a virtual meeting? And, you know, I was even skeptical at first too, but then I went on and I saw some people, some familiar faces, and it was a beautiful thing. And I've had a few people come on that were skeptical, and they got tears to their eyes a little bit because they were like, okay, there's my friends. And it's not the same, but there is some of that energy through that connection, even if it's just seeing that other person on the phone. And another thing is, like he was saying with, you know, reach out to other communities, not just local. And that's what's beautiful about the virtual options too. We were able to work with Mental Health America here in Sheboygan. So they were really great at gathering up a bunch of resources. They developed one that had both local and national ways to reach out to other people in recovery. And then there's a lot of great phone apps that you can put. I think Pink Cloud is one of them. And there's just ways for you to track your triggers or track your, you know, gratitude, track your sobriety times, just stuff like that you can really kick up on to enhance your already recovery system.
All right. Well, Erin Claiborne and Jessica Brownrigg, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me and share this crucial information.
Thank you.
Thank you, Audrey. We greatly appreciate this opportunity. We're just trying to keep the movement going and trying to get it out there as much as possible wherever we can.
Jessica Brownrigg and Erin Claiborne are recovery coaches through Wisconsin Recovery Community Organization, based in Sheboygan. You can find more recovery resources offering virtual options at wuwm.com.